Welcome to the Gonzo.moe Newsbroom, the anime news podcast that nobody asked for. God damn, I have been trying to record this pilot episode for 2 days now. It has been probably 2 months since the last time I was on a podcast, 6 months since the last time I was the host of a podcast, 4 years since the last Gonzo.moe podcast, and 9 years since the last time I tried to do a news-only anime podcast. Used to do the newsbroom on fightbait.com. That website does not exist anymore because I missed the deadline to renew the domain. So now some, I don't even know what you call them, the people that just swipe up domains and then try to get people to pay, you know, thousands of dollars to get them back. That's where fightbait.com went. So my bad. But I used to do this anime news podcast called The Newsroom. It morphed into The Newsbroom. It was a lot of fun. I want to do it again because I like talking about the news without any, I guess, pretense of having a show around it. I like the news to be the show. When we used to do the Gonzo.moe podcast, the news would often be an hour to an hour and a half long. I'm going to try not to do that because I know that nobody has it in them to listen to a 2 hour news show. But I do want to do this. I don't know how often I'm going to do it. That's why I'm calling this a pilot episode. I don't have a concept of like a weekly schedule, whether it be every week, bi-weekly, once a month. I do think it's going to be a good time. If you want to contact me, I'm on Twitter. Gonzo.moe on Twitter. If you have to spell out dot, so Gonzo, D-O-T, Moe, M-O-E on Twitter. You can also send emails. It's spelled the same way, gonzo.moe@gmail.com. If you do like this show, subscribe to it. I don't know where the hell it's going to be. I haven't submitted it to any of the podcatchers, but it'll probably be on Spotify. I assume that's where the kids are listening to the podcasts these days. So what are we doing today? I've got about a month worth of news that I want to talk about. Because I haven't, you know, I'm out of practice. I don't know how long it's going to take to do this. And as I said, I've already been attempting to do this for 2 days. So we're going to be talking about a lot more news than usual. Much of this is going to be out of date, but that's fine. It's also going to be out of order because I tagged it whenever I tagged it. So let's get into the news then. Why not?
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
The first thing that I have on here apparently is from when Crunchyroll did the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. It was kind of a weird one for me. I was looking forward to watching it, and I sort of forgot that we were in the middle of a pandemic and that they weren't going to have just a normal ceremony. And so the Crunchyroll Awards were streamlined in a lot of ways. They just kind of did the categories back to back to back to back. I couldn't bring myself to watch the whole thing. I'm a big fan of the ceremony that they do, and I don't really understand why they couldn't do that virtually. It would have, in theory, been easier because you just get everybody on their webcam and you can still have voice actors introduce each of the categories and do banter. I don't know. It was a weird experience. I know some people enjoyed it a lot more. But I for some reason tagged that Jujutsu Kaisen won Anime of the Year. And it makes me wonder who votes for these things. And I know who votes for them because they release a list of all their judges. But, you know, that's a couple times in a row that just like whatever popular shonen won the Anime of the Year. And I wonder what goes into like how they decide on what to vote for. I don't remember everything that was up for that particular category. So I'm not sure, you know, like what it was up against. But it's a weird one to me. I tried to watch some of Jujutsu Kaisen after it won, and I kind of fell asleep halfway through the first episode. It doesn't mean it's a bad show. I just mean it wasn't for me. Let me see if they have. Of course, the way this is formatted, it is impossible to say who won the other categories. But nothing that I wanted to win, nothing that I wanted to win, won anything. So I really liked Great Pretender, and I thought that was one of the best shows of the year, as well as Apari Ranman. But neither of them won anything. So it is what it is. The next thing I have on here is that Crunchyroll, this is, you know, over a month old. This is from February. Crunchyroll added Sayuki Reload, Cyborg 009, and more. The "and more" is the Ninja Scroll TV show and all-purpose cultural Catgirl Nuku Nuku to their streaming catalog. This, of course, is important to people my age. Because Cyborg 009 for a long time was impossible to watch unless you downloaded it. The show ran on Toonami back in 2003, I think, maybe 2004. And it never got a proper DVD release. They released like 8 episodes and then never completed the release. And if you wanted to watch the show while it was airing, you had to get up at like 4 in the morning because it started on Toonami, but then it got spirited away to like the death slot. And up until Discotech did their Blu-ray, there was no way to watch this show. And so I think it's really cool that it's now, you know, even more accessible to people. I don't know how many, you know, newer fans are chomping at the bit for Cyborg 009, the 2002-03 whatever, you know, reboot. But, you know, now they can watch it. The other reason I tagged this, and I wrote about this in a now completely obsolete letter to the editor that's still in the editing stages, is that Ninja Scroll TV, the series, because this showed up, this announcement happened the day after I finished the Blu-ray of the series. So it was just in time to make me understand that I wasted $30 on that Blu-ray. I could have just waited for this. Although, realistically, would I have watched it? Probably not. So I watched this terrible, terrible anime sequel to a movie that I really liked for no reason. I don't know anything about Catgirl Nuku Nuku or Sayuki Reload, but you know, more anime the better, I guess. Sentai Filmworks has acquired the Netflix Grappler Baki, the first season, technically the third season. This is an interesting one for me because I you know, I'm probably one of the biggest Grappler Baki fans out there in the Western world, but I really don't care for Sentai Filmworks / ADV. I don't like them at all. They, you know, with what they did to Crystal Laporte, where they just completely erased her performance from Beyond the Boundary, to other rumors that I've heard of a hostile work environment, to how they've been handling themselves during the pandemic by like sponsoring conventions and holding theater runs of anime when we were at peak coronavirus panic time. I don't like it. I don't like them at all. I didn't like them back when they were ADV, and I just couldn't put my finger on why. I don't like them even more now that I have some things to be angry about. But unfortunately, the way that the anime industry works is if I want Grappler Baki on Blu-ray, I don't have a choice but to give John Ledford money. And so I will be buying this. It's coming out in May. They say they're going to be doing a new dub, which is interesting to me. It tells me that they pay their actors so poorly that it is cheaper for them to redub this than it is to just license the Netflix dub. The only piece of hope, the only nugget of ambition, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I hope that if they're going to do a new dub, that they try to reprise the roles of the Funimation dub. That was the only complaint I had about the new Grappler Baki that was titled New Grappler Baki, is that it was a new dub cast. And they did a fine job. I don't think there's anything wrong with the actors that they chose, but I wanted the old cast back. What was interesting about that is that some of the, like Kyle Hebert, for instance, he played Hanayama in the Funimation dub. He was in the new Grappler Baki, but he was playing somebody else. He played somebody else that fights Hanayama, which was really weird. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's, you know, when it comes out, I'll probably talk about it if I ever do another podcast. Seven Seas has been in hot water for some translation changes that they're making in their light novels. I don't know how it took this long for people to catch them. I guess it's difficult because unless you read the original and, whoa, Jesus, I'm knocking stuff over on my desk. Unless you read the original in Japanese and then read the light novel translation, there's no way that we would ever know. And so it was first brought to people's attention with Jobless Reincarnation, which has been a controversial series because it is real gross at times. And apparently in the light novel, American translation, English translation of the light novel, some of the more gross moments were rewritten. In particular, there is a character named Paul. In his past, he sexually assaults a friend of his, and I guess in the light novel translation, that part was removed. And so when the anime came out, and people were criticizing it, saying like, oh my god, that's like such a, why would they put that in the show? And like, it was done in a very like, you know, like it didn't, they didn't even show it. They just said like, hey, and then this guy did this in the past. So it was this kind of just throwaway line that was like really gross. And people that read the book were like, well, that wasn't in the book. I don't know why they added that in the anime. Well, turns out that they just rewrote the book. It opens up a can of worms because I don't want to fight for somebody's right to write really gross rape scenes. But as a consumer, I think it's our right to know if really gross rape scenes are in a book, because I may not want to buy a book that has that in it and give money to the person that is writing those scenes. But if the person in between is rewriting it so that's not in there, then I don't know that that's there, and that I'm unintentionally supporting something that I might not want to support. Now, it turns out that Seven Seas was also accused of removing some LGBT material from one of their books, a pretty substantial amount from what I read. I don't know what book it was from off the top of my head, but it's not great. They've addressed both of them. They're apparently going to be correcting the ebook versions first and then reprinting the print version of the book. But it really shouldn't have to come to this. You know, it's like, regardless of your personal belief about X, Y, and Z, whatever those beliefs are, whether I agree with them or not, it's I would imagine that there is a meeting that precedes signing the contract for Jobless Reincarnation that says, hey, just so you know, there's a lot of really gross, sexually explicit stuff in this book. Are you cool with that? You know, and whatever the other book, like, hey, just so you're, you know, this is a, I don't know, there's a lot of LGBT content, content in this book. We just want to make sure that you're handling it with the care that it deserves. You know, like, I don't see how these types of things can happen on accident. Yikes. This one shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. Demon Slayer is getting another season of anime. I don't really get Demon Slayer. I wanted to, because the movie was doing so well, I made it a point to watch the anime, then watch the movie, then read all 250 whatever chapters of the manga, and I still don't get it. There's just so much going on, and it feels like the writer didn't know what direction to go in, because there's a lot of things left unresolved by the end, and like it feels very rushed. Often, it's one of those things where it's like the X number of bad guys. There's 15 ultimate bad guys, and then there's a partway through, like not even fairly deep into the show, they're like, just kidding, there's only 6. And like, there were several episodes where, because it's one where they have like a specific number for each enemy. I think there was supposed to be 12 of them. And so one thing that they would do early on is they'd be like, we met one of the 12. And the person they were fighting is like, yeah, I'm definitely one of the 12. I'm 100% one of the 12. And then after they beat them, somebody would be like, they weren't one of the 12. They just say that. Like, that was really frustrating while watching the show. Like, oh, okay, so that was just to like pad out time. So you're just gonna, like, every couple episodes, you're gonna say we're fighting one of the ultimate bad guys, and then just change your mind after they're dead, so there's still 12 of them. It's not the worst thing that I've seen. It's very surprising to me that it's setting records. Like, the movie wasn't bad, but it certainly wasn't best-selling movie of all time in Japan good. So what else? Sad news. Well, a follow-up to very sad news. Moroku was finally recast in the Yashahime dub. Recasted with Ian James Corlett. I'm not super familiar with this particular actor, but I remember when this news came out, I watched a clip of them because Moroku doesn't really show up more than like 3 times in Yashahime, so there's not a lot of opportunities. He's fine. Yashahime is an interesting beast. I just finished watching it the other day. There's going to be another season. There's some news for you. The original characters don't really show up very often. So like, they could give Moroku a different voice every time, and unless you grew up watching Inuyasha, you wouldn't even notice. He shows up that seldom. Ian James Corlett probably does fine. I'm not watching it dubbed. I think that the dub's kind of bad. This has been a problem that I've had in general with COVID dubs. And I don't know if it's because people are doing them at home or if it's just that there's, a shortage of good directors willing to work in this age, but a lot of the COVID dubs that I've seen have been very poor. And so I just stopped watching them. I was very disappointed with the Kuma 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 Bear dub. It just sounds like everybody's just reading lines off the script. And I normally really like English dubs. The Yashahime was another one where, they went through all this effort of getting the original voice actors to play Inuyasha, Moroku, Sango, etc. And, Kagome is kind of a tough one because the original actress retired from acting, but they got the final act, Kagome, to come back, and the first episode where they're all there, it sounds like they're just bored. And like, it's I don't blame the actors. Working in TV, I've learned a lot about that. If you're not getting the performance, if as a viewer you're not happy with the performance of an actor, it's probably the director's fault. It's almost 100% the director's fault. And so it's, they're just not spending the right amount of time with these actors, or I don't know, maybe not being in person is playing a role. But anyway, Toys R Us is planning a comeback. That's, you know, as a 30, God, I'm about to turn 34, I think. If I'm not already 34, I have no idea how old I am. My opinion of Toys R Us doesn't really matter as somebody in their mid-30s, but it seems like a weird move, unless they're going for smaller stores, because... So the last time I went to a Toys R Us, I was probably 21, 22. So it was over 10 years ago. It was a while ago. But I remember it being kind of a wasteland. And maybe it's always been a wasteland because, you know, when I went as a kid, it was just this magical place full of toys. But I remember going there, I think, to look at video games. Because the store was just, it was very close to my apartment. And I wanted to see what kind of games they had on sale. And I remember just like a tons of like unstocked shelves. And like the video game aisle was just bare. And, you know, it's entirely possible that I was going there for a closing sale. You know, maybe they were in the process of shutting down. I don't remember because this was over 10 years ago. But I remember just thinking like, whoa, what the fuck happened? Yashahime gets another season. We already talked about that. That's talk about a show that went from like good to bad to mid. It was such a wild ride with Yashahime. It got really bad for a while. And I think it was only because it started off so strongly and then just like didn't deliver on any of the promises that it set out to execute. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But there was some like really rough filler episodes, and it's weird to have a filler episode in a show that you're writing. You know, it's not like there's a manga that they're following. So I'm not sure why they were wasting their time with filler. But I'm looking forward to more of it. I don't know. The first season finale was pretty wild. I don't want to spoil anything, but it was not what anybody would have expected, is what I'll say. Toonami's going to have The Promised Neverland anime season 2 starting April 10th. I've heard that is not a good season of anime. Never watched the first one, but the people on Twitter are saying that it isn't great. Funimation is going to be streaming Hatalia. Anybody shocked there? Nope. Demon Slayer film is going to have some theater runs in April. You know, it's funny to me with the Demon Slayer movie. I don't think it's a bad film, but with how it performed everywhere else, you know, being, you know, skyrocketing to the highest grossing film of all time in Japan, it's going to be really funny to me when it comes to America and like nobody goes to see it. We're never going to hear that story, but I have a pretty strong feeling that that's what's going to happen, because like Demon Slayer, I don't think it's very popular here. People like it, but not in the same way. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the sequel film, has begun production. I don't know why I tagged that. Netflix has finished filming the Cowboy Bebop live action series. When is that going to come out, do you think? I'm saying by the end of the year. They must have been pretty deep into filming that. Because, so the current job that I'm on, we started in, let's say, November. We started like 2 days before Halloween. So basically November. We are just over half, or like three quarters of the way done. And, you know, we've been on a full-time schedule. So they must have been, you know, halfway through filming. And what I've noticed is that when the media posts on filming schedules, they're always a few months late. So they probably actually finished a couple months ago. And we're just hearing about it now. Some sad news. Yasuo Otsuka passed away at 89. He was a producer at Studio Ghibli. I don't really know what to say. I'm not super familiar with the Studio Ghibli work. I'm that anime fan. I've tried over the years, and I know a lot of it's that I just haven't watched the good ones, but like I tried to watch Howl's and I didn't care for it. I went to see The Wind Rises, did not care for it. So I'm not really familiar with Otsuka's work, but it's, you know, a really important figure in the industry. It sounds like he did a lot to help new animators acquire their skills. Like he was a teacher at a school is what it's saying in the article. So, you know, it really sucks. I don't know what else to say. Speaking of Spirited Away, the annual No Anime has been nominated for an Oscar post on Anime News Network came out. It's always so funny to me when these come out because it's like, what do you expect? Like, there hasn't really been an anime worthy of an Oscar in a while. And some people were saying, like, you know, Demon Slayer could have done it. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, it's sold a lot. It sold a lot of tickets, but I wouldn't call it an award-winning film. Fruits Basket, final season is going to be... Well, it looks like it already aired its first episode. This was on March 19th. I think it's the 22nd as I'm recording this. Fruits Basket. I don't know why I always want to make it multiple baskets of fruits. It makes me wonder, you know, because this is a show that was really popular when I was getting into anime in the early 2000s. And people of my age range still remember it. And I wonder if people that are getting into anime now, 15 years from now, are still going to be talking about, like, yo, you remember, I don't know, Skate Leading Stars? Skate Leading Stars sure was great. They're going to do another sequel season, you know, like... I'm sure if Fruits Basket came out for the very first time now, it might not make the same impact that it did. And you know, I think about that with the stuff that I got into, like Trigun and Inuyasha or Cowboy Bebop. Like, if I saw them for the first time now, would I care? You know, a friend of mine, we were talking, and they don't watch anime. They're aware of anime. They watched some Trigun recently, and they're like, I don't get it. You know, like maybe I was just at the right age to get Trigun. Speaking of movies in the theaters, Studio Kara warns against unauthorized recordings of their Evangelion film. That's hilarious to me because, like, I've watched cam rips, but they're bad. Nobody watches a cam rip and is like, I'm good. I'm not going to buy this movie, you know, or I should say nobody that's willing to watch a cam rip would have, they're probably not somebody that was going to give you money anyway, is what I'm trying to say. You know, I watched a cam rip of the Demon Slayer movie. I would not have bought that Blu-ray. I would not have gone to a movie theater to watch it. Would I pay for a digital screening of it? Maybe. You know, I might pay $3 to rent it, but that wasn't an option to me. I don't think cam rips are stealing money from anybody. And also, like, I just don't care about the pocketbooks of million dollar companies. I don't know. Studio Car doesn't have $1 billion, but this is something that I've been thinking about for a while and something that I'd like to write about more extensively is I don't understand why anime fans give a fuck about how much corporations are making. I'm not going to turn this into a big rant right now, but, you know, I can understand from an ethical standpoint the piracy versus no piracy debate, But like what we're really talking about is like, I want this company that fucks their employees over to make more money. That's what it comes down to. All these animators get paid garbage. The voice actors get paid garbage. Even the Demon Slayer, one of the Demon Slayer voice actors came out recently and was like, yeah, they don't, you know, when that movie started doing really well, like I still only got paid $100 for the day or whatever they said, you know, like the voice actors on My Hero Academia over here barely make $30 an hour. And that's one of the biggest anime, you know, on Funimation's roster right now. And you know, like Sony just bought Crunchyroll for almost $2 billion. I don't give a fuck if somebody's downloading something, like they're going to be fine. And this isn't like a pro piracy rant. It's more of an anti-capitalism rant. Like we talk about Eat the Rich. It shouldn't be Eat the Rich unless they're giving us anime, right? I don't know. This is a longer conversation that I'm not ready to have right now. A lot of cons are still going virtual. Crunchyroll and Anime Expo are going virtual for their second year in a row. Crunchyroll actually did a survey to see if people are comfortable attending a con in person. It must not have gone the way they wanted it to if they're doing another virtual con. I do wonder if more cons are going to just do this permanently because it's got to save them like tens of thousands of dollars. I do hope that more conventions, even when they do return to their original format of we go to a place, I hope that they embrace some of the virtual things. That's been a big problem that I've seen is that disabled people are worried that once it's safe to go back out and, you know, go back to normal life, quote unquote, that they're going to lose all of these things that they'd been begging for. Like the ability to attend class online or go to work virtually, you know, doctor's appointments remotely, things that they were told just weren't possible. That was a big thing with Anime Lockdown that I hadn't considered is that for some people, it was their first anime convention because just before that, they physically could not go to an anime convention. And I helped bring that culture to them. You know, on the flip side, it's really interesting to see the people that are anti-virtual convention. And that side is really interesting to me because nobody is forcing you to go to the virtual one. Like, turn your computer off. Don't click on it. You know, I'm sympathetic to the people that miss in-person conventions. I'm one of them. I do genuinely miss Otakon and Anime Detour, but it's not, you know, it's too soon. It's still like cases are still high. It's not time to have a 20,000 people meetup. And they'll come back. Some of them won't. That, you know, that's a big problem is that a lot of these conventions, like, they don't really have a savings set up. So they weren't able to miss 1 year, let alone 2 years. But that's, you know, other things will come and replace them. Anime conventions as a concept aren't going away. They just needed to take the back seat for a minute. I don't know. I got an email from Anime NYC. They're hoping to do their con in November. And like, you know, maybe they can. I don't know. Cases in New York are going down. I'm considering, you know, because that's what, 7 months from now, at least. I'm at least thinking about it. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, Crunchyroll and Anime Expo going digital for another year is not the end of the world. These are giant companies. They're going to be fine. I don't really understand what... I guess it depends on what you go to a convention for. So for me, I go to a lot of panels and I party with friends. So obviously I miss the partying with friends part, but the panels translate to virtual pretty easily. And if in many ways the virtual panel is it's an improvement because more people can go, and if you do it right, the audio and the video is actually vastly superior, and you don't have to sit by a bunch of people that didn't shower. So I don't know, You know, some positive things that came out of 2020, Yen Press and Viz have reported that they actually had better sales than usual. Viz said a 70% increase over previous years. Yen Press said they had a record-setting year, which is great. I forgot Yen Press was even still in the business. Because I don't buy a lot of manga. I don't read a lot of manga. It's so bad that when I see Yen Press, I still think about Yen Plus, their Shonen Jump competitor from, 2007, 2008? They had Soul Eater and Bamboo Blade, and I think like the Higurashi manga in there. Did not last very long. Speaking of conventions, Otakon raised $34,000. That is not very much money to pay off their bills. I would assume that it probably costs at least $1 million in operating costs for a convention Otakon size. $34,000 is like, that sounds like a mid-sized con to me, but I don't have any concept of what it costs to run a con. But Otakon's a giant convention space, so what is it, probably, is it 30? It's like 30 to 50,000 people that go to Otakon each year, I think. It might be closer to 60 or 70. I'm not sure. I know that it's like one of the top 10 largest conventions. In other terrible news, the New Ways of the House Husband trailer came out a couple weeks ago, and everybody got really upset because it's like manga. Oh, this was March 1st. Jesus. It was like a slideshow with voiceover. So that's not going to be the anime that everybody was hoping for, and that's a bummer. Discotech, this is probably the biggest news of the whole episode. So Discotech did their Discotech Days panel on probably March 7th, because this post is from March 8th, and they dropped some bombs. They got Kashimashi, they got Sergeant Frog, they got Dear Brother, Magical Girl Ore, Kakaishi, and then some like weird cat stuff. The biggest thing that they announced, however, was that they found the film print to Project Aiko. This is a movie that I've heard that I should see for a long time and still haven't seen. And so I think I'm just going to wait until their Blu-ray comes out. The Dear Brother, in particular, apparently they're only going to have, I think they said like a, they might not have said a specific number. I'm going to say like a 2-year licensing period. So if you want to get Dear Brother and by extension Rose of Versailles, you should probably get those right away. They're not going to have those for the typical 5 to 7 year period. But a lot of good stuff. I am still holding out hope that they get Grappler Baki, the 2000 series. I don't think it's going to happen. It's looking like it's probably going to be Sentai, those fucking bastards. This is an interesting one. I think this one only popped up because I looked at the Anime News Network archives. The archive seems to show every story regardless of region. And so this is like a UK story that caught my eye. And it was about the Paranoia Agent Blu-ray release that's probably out by now. They're saying it's not going to be censored. And I said, like, what? What did they censor? Because like I didn't realize at the time that I was reading a UK story. I don't remember anything being cut from the DVD releases that I had from Genion. And apparently, in I don't remember which episode it was, but there's a story that deals heavily with suicide, and apparently there were some scenes cut from that, and those are going to be no longer cut from the Blu-ray, which, oh, it looks like it's coming out April 19th. So interesting stuff. We only got two more things on here. The John Wick writer is working on a Hellsing live action. I don't know. it's really interesting to me that all these anime are getting Western live action adaptations. And it must just be people that were teenagers when these came out that are now old enough to be able to produce, you know, their dream movie. because I don't know why else Helsing is getting revisited right now. It was a perfectly, you know, fine series. I remember getting weird with like werewolf Nazis in the end. I never did finish the manga. I guess more power to him. I don't know if it necessarily needs a live action version because it's a pretty standard vampire story that is only unique because of its character designs. You know, the minute you make that live action, you're just making Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I don't know. And then the last thing I have on here is that Animago is working on a Kickstarter for Madox 01. This story is over 20 days old, so the Kickstarter is probably mostly over at this point, but they're looking to raise $50,000 to put out a Blu-ray of this. And I'm trying to click on the story right now to see how well the campaign is doing. Let me see if I, good Lord. I use this service called Pocket that lets you tag stories, and it's not working out very well for me. Okay, so let's see. Animago opening a Kickstarter. There must be a link to the Kickstarter on here. This is with Robert Woodhead, who's the person that found the Project Echo film prints on accident. It's a bizarre story to me. They usually do pretty well with their Kickstarters, so I assume it's fine. Oh, is this not launched yet? It looks like it hasn't launched yet. So I guess it's okay, because it currently says $0 out of 50,000. And it doesn't have a start date yet. So, okay. I guess people still have time to think about it. Unlocks at launch. So, well, that's even stranger to me that they would announce this a month before launching. But it looks like it is $30 to get the Blu-ray. And then there's a $55 like special edition. So that's cool. The only thing I remember about Madox 01 is the Fast Karate official theme song, which I'm going to play, not in its entirety because it's like 3 minutes long, but you know, you knew what you signed up for when you started listening to one of my podcasts.
Ooh, me and my robot.
So if you want the full, what, 2 or 3 minute version, I'll put that after the ending song of this. I don't really have anything else to talk about. You know, when I originally tried to record this, I was trying to do like a preview of upcoming anime, and it's just like nobody needs that, and I just don't have it in me to review anything, so maybe we'll do some reviews at some point, but today's not my day. So this has been the Gonzo.moe Anime News Broom podcast. How many fucking times did I record this? Like 3 or 4. It's unbelievable. It looks like I approached 50 minutes, though. You know, when I cut out all the bullshit, I bet this is like 45 minutes. Anybody that's ever listened to a podcast I've done knows that right now is it's an okay time to turn it off. Because at this point, I'm just going to stall until the music's done. But, you know, I want to do more podcasts. I want to do more anime podcasts. I want to start having more guests on. I do want to do a regular news show because I really do like talking about the news, but I also want to have people on to tell their stories. I want to know why they podcast. I want to know why they started podcasting and the struggles they had when they started podcasting. But I also want to do a show where we talk about what we're watching. You know, like one of the mistakes that I used to make was I would try to do these all in one show, and it's exhausting. Recording a 3-hour show is too much. It's too much to record. It's too much to listen to. So I'm going to try to streamline things. Streamline anime. We're coming. Akira. Kaneda. What am I doing? Fuck me. Good night. I meant to say Tetsuo.
I found a giant robot, it fell into my truck. And then I shot a helicopter and orphaned some kids. I've gotta find my girlfriend, she's waiting for me on the tower, cause her dad's making go to England. I really hope I don't die in this robot suit. That guy has a flying tank, but it's really just a walking tank. I don't know why he calls it a flying tank. It doesn't fly. I don't know, that's it. The other version was funnier. This is a tribute to the greatest song in the world.
I'm gonna be with you in my robot, driving down the streets of Shinjuku Avenue. You can't drive there on Saturdays. Unless you're a giant robot, then who's gonna stop you? While the Tokyo military, but they don't exist. So how are they gonna stop you? Well, crazy tank guy, he came from the U.S. The U.S. doesn't seem too upset that he lost their giant robot and gave it to a 17-year-old boy who went to Tokyo Engineering School. And then the 80s girl who has like 1,000 jobs is gonna go get that robot back, but her robot really sucks, so I don't know what she was talking about doing anyway. Me and my robot, ooh, me and my robot, ooh, me and my robot.
Oh, it's a song!